Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Today on Think Smart with TMFG, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Riley Moines, author of The Four Phases of Retirement, and about the discoveries that he has made over years of study in this field. For those who don't know, I met Riley back in early in my career in 1992 in the early days of Equion, which eventually became Asante in 1995. We both grew as advisors, and in about 1994, we actually opened an office together at the Madison Center, working with about eight other advisors in our office. After that 10 years was up, Riley decided it was time for him to move on and retire and move on to something else. And I was lucky enough to take over looking after Riley's clients and have been doing that for the last almost 20 years. So let's get started. Riley, where did you grow up?
Rob, nice to be here. Nice to see you guys again. I'm one of the few people that I know who was born and raised in Toronto, in the western area of Toronto, for the early part of my life anyway, and went to school, went to high school at Vaughan Road Collegiate Institute, which no longer exists, but was a hot spot at the time. I went to University of Toronto, Victoria College, and then moved into my teaching career.
Okay. Now, I remember you moved around a little bit in your teaching career. Where did you move to?
Well, I started teaching in the North York Board of Education at the high school level and spent four years there. And then I went to get some more experience. I went to a junior high school. Then I had the opportunity to move to the Royal Ontario Museum. There was a time when there was a secondment process where each year a teacher from a different metro board would be seconded to the Royal Ontario Museum. And I was lucky enough to have that opportunity. History was my background. And of course, spent lots of time in the Greek and Roman and Egyptian galleries at the ROM. So spent 2 years there. And then at the end of that time, the lady who had been in charge of the department for forever retired. It ended up that I took over from her in charge of the education programs there at the ROM. And we would have about 1,000 students a day would show up on buses from all over the province, from kids in kindergarten to postgraduate students. The Department of Museology at the University of Toronto, people who are studying museum studies. So I spent 4 or 5 years there. Then I had an opportunity to move on to the Ministry of Education on another secondment. There was a fellow at the ministry who wanted to finish his career at the museum. So we made a switch. And so I spent a couple of years at the Ministry of Education. And during that time, had an opportunity to, learn a lot about how education is administered in the province. Did some private school inspection, was liaison. Each of us was liaison with a particular board of education. I was liaison with a board that time, the Northumberland and Newcastle board that was headquartered in Cobourg, Ontario. And then, as luck would have it, at the end of that two-year period, there was one of the superintendents in the board retired. I had come to know that board reasonably well over the previous 2 years by doing some work with them. And I was appointed an area superintendent in Cobourg. So I was responsible for the elementary and secondary schools in Cobourg and Port Hope at the time. Spent a couple of years there, and then received a call one day from an agency that had been hired to look for a replacement as director of education in the Lakehead Board of Education in Thunder Bay. We thought about it long and hard, my wife and I thought, you know, it would be interesting enough just to go through the exercise, regardless of what came of it,
right.
Just be an interesting exercise. So went through the exercise, and about 4 visits later, I was offered the position of Director of Education in Thunder Bay, where I spent the next 5 or 6 years of my professional career answering to a board of 19 trustees, which was an interesting new experience for me at that time. We went through a number of developments, including school closures and that kind of politically dynamite topics. That was an interesting professional experience. The board itself, although it was It was at a distance from what we usually think of as the hub of the province here in Toronto. It was a very progressive board, and it was a very, very positive, worthwhile professional experience for me. But at the end of about 5 years, a couple of things happened that made me rethink how long I wanted to be in Thunder Bay and in public education. One of them was when I was forced to close the schools on the 24th of May as a result of yet another blizzard. And by this time, my wife had had about enough of that, and I had had about enough of that as well. We just decided that, as one friend decided, or at least one friend described it, he said to me, Riley, he said, what's happened is that you climbed to the top of the ladder in your chosen field, but you found it's leaning against the wrong roof, the wrong house, the wrong building. And that kind of summed it up for me. And I thought, you know, I'm a teacher at heart. And as you become more involved on the political side of education, you're further and further removed from kind of the real world, the teaching world. I really do enjoy teaching. And I thought, you know, if I work as hard for myself as I have in this situation, I don't think I can go wrong. And so we decided to come back to Toronto, which is our home, as I indicated. Decided that financial services was where I wanted to be. I thought that if I was able to work with and help to educate people in making some good financial decisions, that would be an interesting, challenging new prospect. And that's what we did.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back a little bit there. It's interesting when your time at the ROM.
Mm-hmm.
My mother at the time was extremely involved in the ROM. She was head of the volunteer committee mm-hmm. at one point, would spend her days going down there and walking the kids around and teaching them about all the different aspects of the museum. So mm-hmm. she was involved in that, I would guess, for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So you probably crossed paths numerous times, but we wouldn't have known, right?
No. Well, we had a combination of certified teachers as well as docents or volunteers. Part of our job, of course, was to help the volunteers to become as knowledgeable as possible about as many areas as they could. So, yeah, we were certainly complemented and supported by a large group of very, very effective and enthusiastic volunteers as well.
So you decided to become an advisor. Did you join a firm? Did you open up your own firm? What was the the approach there?
Well, I started when I first came back to Toronto. I spent a couple of years at a brokerage firm, which is no longer in business. I discovered pretty quickly that was not the part of the business that I wanted to be in. That was a transaction-based business. It was, you know, buying and selling stocks. And I really wasn't interested in that sort of thing at all. What I was interested in was the emerging popularity of mutual funds at that time. With my background in education, we were able to establish a small mutual fund company, Moines Investments. And we worked with a number of school boards and helped to set up some RRSP plans for teachers who could, in addition to their contributions that they made to their pension plans, could also make some contributions to RRSP. So we had a number of school boards that we worked with in that regard. But about 5 years into that, we got kind of busy and I was, again, more and more kind of pulled away from the advisory part of it and was really becoming an administrator again. Really wanted to kind of step away from that. And so one of our best-known colleagues, Rob Pierce, was always around and chatting me up and saying, you know, we've got a great firm here that you really, you know, you should consider having some discussions with. So we did. We ended up and became part of Equion. And of course, all of the administrative part that I had found kind of weighing me down was taken away. And I was able really to, again, focus working with clients again. So that's where we spent the next several years. You and I connected and created the office there on Yonge Street for a while. And yeah, that's how it all started.
So, Riley, it's Mike here. It's great to get to be able to do these podcasts because, you know, I will put you down as one of my mentors when I started off in the industry. I started off and Riley was in her office and I got to watch the experience of someone who really knew what they do as a financial advisor and picked up on it. But tell me, what are some things you really loved about being a financial advisor?
Well, I think the main thing was the education part of it, that I believe that You know, when you're working with a couple in many situations or individuals, and if you could kind of present something that made sense to them in terms of an approach to financial management and financial planning, that overwhelmingly people kind of got it, they understood it, and they were prepared to act on it. So I really felt that I was back teaching and really adding value in that way. That was, I think, my most gratifying and most enjoyable role.
Yeah, I guess you've always been an educator, haven't you?
I have, yes.
There can be different roles as educators, from school to financial advisors, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of different ways to educate people and a lot of different people that need to be educated. I'll put it that way.
So, Riley, you had a couple things going on. I mean, you had your practice, but then you branded yourself as the money coach.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you started writing books on mutual funds. Mm-hmm. And you were one of the first in Canada to put those books out there about mm-hmm. some of the top mutual funds at the time. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, the background of that, Rob, is that when I was in education, I had done some writing. I co-authored a book on Russian history that was called Russia, Czars and Commissars. A new course was introduced into the senior high school level in Ontario on the topic of Russia, and there were no textbooks, and so a colleague and I put our minds to that. A couple of years later, there was another new course introduced on world religions, and once again, there were maybe university textbooks, but nothing at the high school level. So we co-authored a textbook called What Man Believes, which was a study of world religions. And there were several others that I was involved with as well. So the writing and the research was kind of part of my background and something that I really did enjoy. And so when I moved into the financial services area, I really kind of applied some of those strengths and some of that experience. Came up with a book that I called The Money Coach. And this was a book that was kind of a fundamental basics of money management and tried to introduce people to some of the concepts, the rule of 72 and other basic kinds of things. And there had been other books published before, but I didn't feel that they were, frankly, at the level that I wanted them to be presented. I had this vision of USA Today. And when I read USA Today, I was always impressed by its kind of sleek, neat design. There were cartoons, but not cartoons in the traditional sense, but some really good illustrations. And that was the image that I wanted to try to capture. And so we were able to do that with The Money Coach. We approached a number of publishers. I had some experience in the publishing field before working with those textbooks. And so I approached some of those same publishers, and it was interesting that none of them thought that there was any opportunities here at all. They weren't interested at all. And then I had this idea. I wasn't sure how brilliant it was at the time, but it turned out to be okay. I approached the folks at Mackenzie Financial. And at the time, Jim O'Donnell was their president and a marketing guru and would kind of do all sorts of creative things to try to draw people's attention to Mackenzie. And I approached them with this idea, presented them with a couple of the proposed chapters. They liked it, and they signed a letter of intent. They would buy 5,000 copies of this book, which immediately made it a Canadian bestseller.
Well, that's for sure.
And immediately, publishers who had shown no interest at all were anxious to publish the book because, of course, there was this written letter. So Jim published that and, in fact, followed up with another 2,500 copies, and he distributed copies of the book to financial advisors really across the country, and that really gave it some real impetus. Then it appeared in a number of bookstores and became really quite a popular book.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the time there was David Chilton's book, yep. You know, The Wealthy Barber, and yep. You were probably number two out there.
Yeah, I think that's
and,
true.
And you started speaking across the country and all kinds of different presentations. It was big. How many revisions of the book would you have done?
Well, we did six ultimately and ended up with probably over 200,000 copies that had been published and mostly sold across Canada.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, Riley, the next phase is retirement. and you decided to walk away from your financial planning practice and the money coach and and that. I think for our audience, we're going to talk about that on another day. That brings us to the end of another week. We're going to have Riley back for next week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to live the life that makes you happy.
Listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.